Good day, ladies and gentlemen. In the last session, we dealt with benefits from trusting. In this session, we deal with costs and risks from trusting. Then we will turn in the next session to our ways in which the costs and the risks can be reduced. Establishing personal trusting involves time and resources. There are a number of ways in which, through interaction with other persons, we test the other's trustworthiness. We sometimes even trap the other persons to check the truth of the person's statement and honesty. How do people establish trust? There's a combined rational and instinctive approach that we talked about before. And people really use both. If both parties share the same culture, the same attitudes, they may have an understanding on what creates trustworthiness. At the beginning, each party is more wary of the other, especially if they have no basis for making a decision. Later, their own experience where the other party strengthens or weakens the possibility of trust. All this takes time and repeat interaction. All this may also result in a disappointment. So establishing trust may be costly. There is, which in business can be very serious. That is lost opportunities. Time and money are limited resources. If I invest time and money in building a relationship with Abel, I do not invest in building a relationship with others, such as Baker. Baker may be more talented, more trustworthy. Think about the number of people whom you interact with during a year. It becomes clear that there are many, probably better, parties whom you've missed. That is the cost of seeking to establish trusting relationship. There are many families, especially with many children, who have succeeded in maintaining banking enterprises and other businesses within the family. That ensures more trustworthy, controlling persons. These dynasties were established in the banking business where trust is very crucial. The ability to have a member of the family in different parts of the world and transact international money transfer business allow these families to keep their business for generations. There are also examples of family-run businesses in the auto industries, in the newspaper publishing business. But such benefits come with a cost. When family members do not represent the optimal pool of talent that is available outside, the business may fail. And that was noted time and again. That happened in the software industry. Skill and trustworthy character may conflict in the sense that the choice may be one or the other, more skill or more trustworthiness. And the choice may be crucial to the life of the business. People generally tend to be both trusting and trustworthy. This is the same tendency that people demonstrate towards keeping the law, abiding by the rules. After all, in many countries, there are no police in every corner. In many countries, there are not enough police or informers. The view of people as untrustworthy raises a question. If people are selfish, if people are self-serving, and if you cannot survive unless you mistrust others, how come trusting people survive and prosper? They should have been extinct, like the dinosaurs, long ago. This question brought research that suggested another view of human nature and reaches very different conclusions. First, according to that view, people generally tend to be both trusting and trustworthy. This is the same tendency that people demonstrate towards keeping and abiding by the law. After all, in many countries, there are no police at every corner. In many countries, there are not enough police or informers. Yet in many of these countries, people are law-abiding. They even pay their taxes. Second, as we already mentioned, trusting is efficient. And third, people follow the moral dictates of their communities. Communities need trusting and trusted people, just as they need altruistic people, mothers, nuns, like Mother Teresa. Therefore, societies support trust in a number of ways, including, as we shall see later, through the law, as well as through moral norms. And people follow the norms. Fourth, attitudes towards others have a chain effect. Trust breeds trust. The reverse is also true. Fifth, trusting people protect themselves by seeking to deal with the wrong kind. They may make mistakes. They may even get hurt. But usually, not many times. They are not gullible. They are reasonable. Once they deal with their own kind, trusting people prosper because the relationship are much more efficient. That is how they survive. Let us then return to our formula. When is trust efficient? It depends on how we evaluate the benefits, the costs, and the risks. They're not fixed, but the formula helps us decide, more or less, when to trust. Let's look at these examples. We go back to the newspaper case. No cost of trusting, no need to trust, no measurable cost of verification, low cost of verification. We know what the newspaper costs, we know what the newspaper is. There's almost no transaction cost. But now let's go to subscribing to a newspaper. That presents costs and risks for both parties. The newspaper distributor wants to make sure that the subscription will be paid on time. The buyer wants to ensure that the paper will be delivered on time. The parties don't want the subscriber to pay each time for the newspaper delivered. That would be too costly and that gets more complicated. So the buyer may make some kind of a check to ensure that he will get the paper. And they will have some cost on both sides to find out what kind of people they are dealing with. But the identity of the paper and the price can be easily determined. My third example is much more complex. Suppose you have an investor subscribing to a monthly newspaper. That investor has much more risk. It relates to the substance of the newsletter. The subscriber assumes that the advice in the paper is given for his benefit. If it turns out that the advisor was paid by the issuer, for example, of a stock, or that the advice was given so that the subscribers will buy stock and the advisor will get rid of it because the company that issued the stock is in financial trouble, then the subscriber may experience substantial losses. How would the subscriber then monitor and control this risk? How can he protect himself from such a risk? There's no other way in which than to trust the advisor. The subscriber would look for proof that the advisor is honest, but that may be so costly. Subscribers may decide to forget the whole thing. They may decide to verify the best stocks themselves, or to ask friends to do something else, or do something else, or not invest at all. But this is not the end of the story. There are ways in which costs and risks of trusting can be reduced. Risk of trusting can be reduced by self-interest, by self-interest of both parties. If the parties need to depend on each other and have few really viable good alternatives, they will develop trust in each other. For example, if the supplier of materials to a manufacturer deals in unique goods that this manufacturer needs, and the market offers few alternatives, then trust and dependence will develop. It is in the interest of both parties to trust each other. We should note that the parties that deal with each other usually have conflicting interests. A buyer desires lower price, and the seller desires higher price. But they also have an identity of interest. They want to deal. They want to buy and sell, and they want to do it long term. But if self-interest is not as strong, then trust should be reduced. If independence is weak, if the alternatives for any party that are available and the goods supplied are not unique, and if there are no other reasons for limiting selfishness, for example, no family ties, then the parties are likely to renege on their promises if more profitable business appears. And in such a case, a party that is less dependent is likely to use the first opportunity to terminate the relationship. One can argue that when self-interest is no longer important to both parties, trust is no longer justified. The problem remains when one party is still dependent, while the other is not. In such a case, the dependent party must look to other means to maintain trustworthiness. Reduced by reciprocity. Just as reciprocity helps to create the relationship. Paradoxically, both trust and mistrust can be created and maintained by such reciprocity. Ongoing interdependent relationships tend to create a pattern of reciprocity among the parties for both good and bad behavior. In one study, when students were treated with distrust, they became untrustworthy. In another study, a superior built trustworthiness by deciding matters in a way that subordinates perceived to be fair, to be altruistic, that is caring for their interest. Then they tried to please him. They worked well. They reciprocated. Now, of course, risk can be reduced by mistrust, and you don't rely on the other party. Each party focuses on making sure that the facts are true, that the other party will fulfill the promises. They are protected against harm from trusting. One way in which the protection would work is through tight controls. For example, I want to hire a money manager. I will keep the money in my account. Every time the manager wants to buy or sell shares in my account, he must call me, and I will consider the recommendation and either execute the transaction or refuse the recommendation. The problem is that this would require much of my time and much of my attention. But I would like to reduce the burden of managing my money, and this is not a good way to do it. So I will ask the manager to put the money in a bank and give me a bank guarantee for the amount of the money under his control. He may not be willing to do so if the bank guarantee will cost more than the fees that I pay him. So I will have to bear the cost of the guarantee, but that may be very expensive. The manager may be controlled perhaps through automatic monitors, like the eyes in the wall. His telephone conversations may be monitored. There may be mechanisms and technologies by which controls over people can be installed. But there are at least two main reasons for not taking this approach. It's very costly, especially when information gathering must be continuous. It breeds dishonesty. It breeds added risk. It may backfire. People who distrust the motives of others tend to have more rigid and narrow expectations and to provoke the very reaction that they fear. That is a statement by two researchers, Kelly and Stancek. Both to personal and to social trusting. I hope that you will use the materials you studied in explaining your conclusions, whether agreeing or disagreeing with the materials. All would be of interest. So here is the question. Does society trust poor people? Do you trust poor people? Are poor nations trustworthy? In all these cases, please explain the answer. And of course, I'm looking forward to talking to you next week. Thank you.